An elven warrior trapped on modern-day Earth. Two friends with different destinies meet at a magical school. These are some of the stories we at Electric Lips Comics are working on. You can get your copies of both The Mana Chronicles and Tales of Mithril at elpmerch.com. Support independent creators. Explore the merch featuring exciting ELP Comics art with a wide range of designs. Electric Lips Comics. Imagination electrified.
Conversion camps, infrared goggles, and magical rocks. That's our theme, I guess, for this episode, right? Welcome to the Mostly Pilot Night. Mostly, I am Gravier, joined by my co-host, Salem. We are frying up some more bacon movies with a healthy dose of salt and invisible dongs. Join us as we dive into our second and still same actor spotlight of Kevin Bacon with another trio of his movies, Hollow Man, The Darkness, and They Slash Them.
Yeah, I think originally when I came up with the actor spotlight of Kevin Bacon, I realized how many horror movies he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put that big list in there. And then I think it was just another episode was in the filter there and it just popped in. So yeah, we'll do more actor spotlights in the future that are not Kevin Bacon. But yeah, that's why there's two of them and none of the others.
Exactly. We'll and these are not part of major franchises or IPs. Arguably, maybe Hollow Man being Invisible Man, but
yeah, but he was never paired with anybody else.
Correct. So. Correct. All right. So we'll start off with Hollow Man from 2000, and you know this movie. I know I definitely saw in the theaters. We know we discussed this offline too, and I was being very excited when this came out, and yeah. Though I haven't watched it in a while until this episode. But anyway, we're kind of just introduced to a team of scientists that, you know, we start off with Kevin Bacon, who just magically puts dots on a molecule diagram on his computer, calls up Elizabeth Shue in the middle of the night and said, "I did it. I'm a genius." And we get a little bit of creepiness of him staring at his neighbor across the street. And we get past the point of going, hey, we figured out how to make someone invisible. Now, no, we already did that. That part was easy. The hard part is getting them to come back. So that's what he was kind of working on, is figuring out how to get the gorilla to come back, right? And they successfully do it. And for using, you know, special effects at the time were astounding. Getting to see the whole reversal, starting kind of off with the bones and the, you know, the blood vessels and the nerve endings and all that stuff. And like I said, for that point, you know, period in time, amazing work. I remember being astonished by it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it is still pretty good now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, what, 25 years later. It right. still holds up. I mean, it's not great,
mm-hmm.
but it still holds up. So you can imagine how good it was at that time.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, they figured it out and they're like, oh, man, that's great. You know, they're all under government contracts working in D.C. into underground bunker. And they give.
I know we talked about this, but they have this underground bunker, right, that no one's allowed in or out of, blah, blah, blah. Yet they're allowed to work on the project at home.
Mm-hmm. And share it on right. the internet.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, one, I don't think Hollywood quite understood the internet at that point in time.
No.
But like two, I mean, maybe military defense was like lax back then. I don't know.
Or maybe they're using DARPA or ARPANET.
Huh? I don't know. But it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going to give their presentation to, you know, the Secretary of Defense or whoever. They're trying to figure out how to make soldiers invisible and bring him back. And Kevin's character is like, you know, we're not quite there yet. We were almost there. And they're just like, Josh Brolin is machine, like, the hell. It's like, no. Once they realize it works, it's theirs. I lose my baby. You know, this is my brainchild. He's like, you know what? We're just going to go to human trials. I'm going to do it on myself. And it was like, I don't think it's a good idea. He's like, come on. Like, oh, you're right. What were we thinking? So he injects himself with it, and we get to see him essentially dissolve into, you know, invisibleness. And he realizes that there's issues like, oh, I can't close my eyes. Oh, you know, it's very bright because I can't block myself from the lights, which we'll get into and how easily solvable that is.
Yeah, but also, like, you have to realize that, like, we only see things in colors because light, like, reflects off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it enters into our eye, and our eye translates that into an image. Like, if you're invisible, would you be able to see at all?
I would say not.
I don't know. I don't know the science behind that, but I'm pretty sure there would be some kind of limitation there.
Right. So anyway, they're like, okay, I'm going to be invisible for 3 days. And they kind of have a team there, just watch him be completely naked all the time, because when you're visible, can't wear clothes.
Of course, it takes the illusion away.
Right. So they're going through that. He's kind of jotting down what he's feeling and all that stuff. They're like, all right, cool. And then, you know, after 3 days, like, all right, let's do it. And it doesn't work. Well,
so they try to make him visible again.
Yeah.
And it does not work. Yes.
Correct. They get maybe 60-ish% the way there.
Yeah, he comes back like without skin. So almost there, and then fades away.
Yep. And so they have to figure out what the hell's going on there. And he starts to go a little bit crazy. We got to get back and forth of them trying to figure out the equation to make it happen. And it's been like 10 days, and he's having problems sleeping. He starts being a scamp, if you will, just fucking with people to the point where, like, hey, we have these infrared goggles. Yes. When should we use them? 5% of the time when needed.
Right. Yeah. Right. It shows that they put them on all the time. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it's a new scene, they have them off again. It's like every single time.
Yes. Yeah. You know, one of the medical doctors are, you know, looking at his vitals are in a separate above ground thing. She's like, I can't go to the bathroom, but he might be here. I'm looking at the walls, which seem to be see-through as it was in that bathroom. All right.
Right. Like, you're that paranoid. Put your fucking goggles on before you go to take a leak. Like, I mean, it's not that difficult.
Right. But they knew he's kind of just he's an asshole, let's face it. And
correct. But, like, I mean, there's a difference between being an asshole and then, like, you know, watching people pee. That's a difference.
Yes. Yeah. He just, like, oh, man, I'd do all the craziest shit if possible. And he starts doing some of it.
Yeah. He straight up molests, like, the doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, his first night being invisible.
Yeah, I'm invisible. Surely I can undress you and start filing your boobs.
Yeah, and you'll never notice. Like, right. Good. Great point.
Yep, I'm invisible. Doesn't mean you can't feel me. Right. Okay. So, anyway, they're trying to figure, you know, Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue are trying to figure this out, and for some reason, Kevin Bacon's not trying. And so they're like, okay, this is getting creepy, so they kind of pour, like, liquid latex onto him to, like, you know, like you're molding the mask, and they, you know, kind of, this is the, I call this the subtle nod to the Invisible Man being under bandages to hide, so you know kind of where he's at, right? Even wearing the sunglasses and all that stuff. So that was their Invisible Man, look, aha, we're doing it with, you know, liquid latex now.
And the thing that bothers me, I know I told you about this, but the thing that bothers me is that when they do that, they don't cut out the nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
So he is wearing a mask without nostrils. They cut the mouth open.
Yes.
And they cut the eyes open. But they leave the nostrils closed. Like, how do you not notice that?
Yes.
And there's only one scene in the entire film where the nostrils are cut out. And it is, like, one of the final scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of the scenes, the nostrils are completely sealed closed.
No one breathes through nose, okay? Come on.
It's something you would notice being in a mask all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, he's getting more and more restless, and they're still taking turns. He's getting, he's kind of going insane. He's like, he's not sleeping because the light's coming from everywhere, through his head, through his body, blah, blah, blah. And he can't sleep. Once again, if only there's a way around it, we'll get to that. And so he's being the smart guy. He's able to, you know, put the infrared camera on a loop. And he sneaks out, goes to his neighbors, and, well, assaults her.
Yeah, and it's a very bizarre thing because he, like, straight up molests her, and then it cuts to, like, it's gonna be a rape scene, mm-hmm. and then it just cuts away to the next scene. It's never revisited.
Nope.
It's never brought up again. It's like, I think it's, they're just showing that, like, he, you know, he's a big jerk that, like,
yeah,
you know, rapes people, but, like, that's kind of an important thing to yes. just hand wave away.
Yep. Yeah, so they realize that he got out. They're trying to find him. Like, oh, we were at your, you know, we went to your apartment. We found your skin. He's like, yeah, so what? All right. So Josh Brolin eventually makes some, like, you know, strain doing some quantum, like, heat element or something like that. It gets, like, 95%, and then just, like, the cells just break into nothing. They atomize. He's like, I'd be goo. Right. Fuck you. Right. You could be helping. Oh, fuck you. Okay. And then they realize that they're going to start turning him in. Like, you know, they realize that he lied. This was never sanctioned, blah, blah, blah. You know, they go and tell the chief of secretary of defense or whatever. And Kevin Bacon kind of follows him and then kills him. He's like, yeah, nope. I'm a murderer and rapist.
Right.
And they realize that they're planning on, you know, reporting him. He's like, nope, you can't have that happen. So let me start killing off my coworkers one by one. strangles the poor lady that thought that he, you know, she was being watched while he peed, kills, you know, the Timu Paul Giamatti. He looks like Paul Giamatti, but not.
Yeah, I think he's got like an inch. He's like an inch taller than Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. You know, kills a really nice guy that I don't know what his job was. The dopey doctor, I guess.
Parkman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like flat out, you know, at least he was nice to the woman he groped earlier. He puts her to sleep and then breaks her neck.
Oh, right.
You know, and then kind of locks Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin into the freezer. And then we get the big parody scene from Scary Movie 2 from this scene. And he's like setting up and makes, you know, nitroglycerin and sets up, you know, it in a, I don't know what they call it, a diffuser. Blood diffuser.
Centrifuge.
And it's going to blow up in 5 minutes. And he's really cool. I'm going to escape. Nope. He's not. They have a big fight in the elevator shaft. And eventually he gets like burnt from the impromptu like flamethrower that Elizabeth Shue makes. So she's really smart. And they fight out in the elevator shaft. He loses, falls to his death. Yay. Bad guy's dead. Everyone else is dead except Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin.
Yes. They
left. Sure. That they lost their government contract.
I'm assuming. Yes.
There was a Hollow Man too. So I don't know.
Maybe, there really?
Yeah.
I had no idea there was.
Most people didn't realize that because it went straight to DVD hell. Well,
there's a lot of sequels I don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some scenes there, like when they're using the goggles and steam and rain to, or sprinkler system to figure out what he looks like, just to have, look at our green screen technology. Woohoo.
Yeah, I think the funniest part was that he, like, turns on the steam, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, the room is the same temperature as his body. We can't see him. And they show the thermal vision. You can very clearly see him.
Yes.
You can very clearly see a human shape moving around, and I can't see him at all. It's like, dude, I don't even know how to read infrared shit, and I know where he is.
Maybe this is why they didn't use the goggles, because they didn't know how to use it either.
Apparently, yeah.
Like I said, you know, this first thoughts, you know, I watched this in 2000 theaters, and I thought it was a pretty damn good movie. I thought between The Mummy and then this, I'm like, all right, this is the way we're bringing back Universal monsters. You know, I thought Dracula 2000 was in there as well. I'm like, cool. And then it just disappeared. It didn't go and do much more after that. And on the rewatch.
Had a sequel.
Yeah. And the rewatch, you realize, yeah, like, graphics are still pretty good. Could this use, would be interesting to see it in a 2025 computer? Hell yeah, it would. But overall, it's, you know, for it being, you know, essentially a guy in a green screen suit the entire time, it holds up really well.
I mean, it does. The interesting thing is, you know, I was watching for like bad CGI, like, you know, glaring stuff, but like they're pretty good about it. You know, like when he's wearing his mask, like where his eyes are, they show the back of the mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're pretty good about, like, I didn't see any like mess, you know, I was looking for it.
You know?
I didn't really find it. Like I said, it holds up really well. I mean, I think that was like the pinnacle of CGI at that time. And for it to still hold up passably 25 years later, I did a hell of a job.
Way better than I Am Legend.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah. I Am Legend at the time, I remember thinking that looks awesome. And like watching it now, it's like, wow. It's very dated. Like, I can't believe it looks that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you remember your first thoughts when you saw this movie? And when you even saw it?
I don't know. I mean, I was like, no, I don't remember this, The Invisible Man. I mean, I've rented it from Hollywood Video on VHS. So, I mean, that was the last time I watched this film. So I don't, I don't remember.
And yeah, you're right. We talked about it before. I don't remember Josh Brolin being this at all.
No, well, I didn't know who Josh Brolin was back then, other than he was in The Goonies. You know, he was like the older brother in The Goonies, but he was not, you know, the Josh Brolin like he is today.
Right.
I knew Elizabeth Shue. Because I knew Adventures in Babysitting. So I knew who Elizabeth Shue was.
And Back to the Future 2?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Well, one, again, like we just talked about, the cast, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we got Kevin Bacon, we got Elizabeth Shue, we got Josh Brolin. Before he was the Josh Brolin. I mean, Kim Dickens, who has been in a lot of stuff since then. It was like an earlier role for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite of this movie, I thought I was wrong. Because a lot of times you see people in very small roles and you're like, wow, that looks just like this person. And then you look at the credits and like, oh, I guess it wasn't.
Yeah.
But no, this one I was actually right. The lady across the street that he's spying on through his window that he eventually, like, again, apparently rapes off screen.
Yes.
And then it's never mentioned again, is Rhona Mitra. Like, Rhona Mitra, you know, star of Underworld and Doomsday. This was a very early role for her, apparently just being a, like, topless, you know, trophy showpiece, right? Because she has, like, one line where she goes, like, hello? You know, that's it. That's, like, her only line. She was just there to be attacked.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was Rhona Mitra. It's interesting. It's an interesting cast. I mean, there's a lot of other people in it that you would know them if you saw them. I don't know their names. Yeah, just a lot of interesting cast in there. It's interesting, you know, going because they did talk a little bit about how the animals that became invisible got more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're not sure if it's the substance or if it was just the act of being invisible. Does it mess with you, right? Does it mess with something in the brain to make you more aggressive or upset?
Right.
And again, there's that whole kind of thing is like, is it this substance doing it to him or was he just a piece of shit anyway? And this is just causing him to like have a break. Mm-hmm. Right. It kind of goes back and forth and it's interesting to think about. And then the last half of the film, it's kind of like two horror films, right? It's kind of like a science-y, you know, mad science, you know, science gone wrong beginning. And then the last half is like a slasher. It's just like sped up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it only has 45 minutes to do all the slasher work. So it just does a slasher in the past 45 minutes when he literally kills everyone in the office and then tries to blow it up in the last half. So it's like a rushed slasher in the beginning and then like, a you know, science has gone too far in the end. Which is, it's an interesting national.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. The cast. Absolutely.
Oh,
the cast.
Sorry. And also it was directed by Paul Verhoeven. I did not remember that.
I didn't know that either.
I was like, Paul Verhoeven did this?
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I said the cast was phenomenal. You know, I think between after this, the next team I thought Josh Brolin in was probably Planet Terror. He still wasn't the Josh Brolin at that point. But yeah, like I said, Elizabeth Shue was amazing. Like I said, Kevin Bacon did a fantastic psychopath. His characters are almost always on that verge anyway, I feel like, in a lot of stuff he does. But it's just interesting.
He's a very versatile actor. They just kind of they put him in a certain, especially around this time period.
Mm-hmm.
From like the 80s to this time period, they kind of like pigeoned him into being like the good guy, right?
Yeah.
And I think he was desperately trying to find roles to switch that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the major ones where he got to do that.
Yeah. As you said, this is the first half is a science experiment gone wrong, which is the plot of The Invisible Man. You know, it's that instead of it being a doctor, he is a thief that takes some science experiment. And it's not magic, it's a science experiment that turns him invisible, right? And he always dies at the end of every Invisible Man. It's always a different Invisible Man every time. And like I said, this is a fantastic update. I think this is a fantastic science experiment gone wrong version of it too. You know, even talk about like, you know, the guy who, you know, made the, you know, the vaccine and tested it on himself and his children, you know, and that's true. And, you know, is that the smartest thing to do? No, but.
Well, at that point in time, so many children had polio that it was like he felt it as a necessary thing, necessary to save children, to save people the pain of going through all that.
Yeah. I'm saying, was that good justification for Kevin Bacon doing that himself?
But like being invisible is not saving people's lives. It's just making you money and giving, you know, the military another tool to kill people with. You're not doing anything heroic with this.
No. But that's what I got. I'll roll into my low points. Rape, let alone invisible rape.
Yeah, no shit. and not only that, but like, not, it doesn't even tell you what actually happened, and then it never returns to tell you like what the result of that was.
Correct.
Like, you know he's a piece of shit by then, but like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a side story.
Yeah. You know, there's lots of animals making noises at him, but he has to go and like splatter the dog.
Yeah, like literally like choke it and then slam it against the wall until it explodes.
Yep. And it's really interesting that the dog's dead, and like they show the infrared of like the blood splatter everywhere, but then they show it again and there's like nothing there at all, which is like, did he clean it up? What did he do? And a lot of things in this movie just don't make sense. He's the scientist who figured out the molecular, you know, structure to make it come back. He becomes invisible. Nope, he can't work on that problem anymore. He's a test subject. Well, how about he works on it? You guys have computers. You have computers at your houses that have this information. Bring it to him. Help him figure. He can help figure out what's wrong instead of relying on other people that didn't solve it the first time.
He was too upset.
I guess.
He was depressed.
I can't sleep. Right. Well, put a sleep mask on. No. Okay. Sure. As you said before, off screen, you know, a black bag. There's lots you can do to not have light go into your eyes.
Right. Well, yeah, like a sleep mask would obviously block it from the front, but again, he's saying he's invisible. Light might come in from the back. So yeah, just put your head in a bag.
Or like, just have your fake skin
plastic.
On.
I'm not saying a plastic bag. I'm saying like a cotton bag. You can breathe through it, but it'll block the light, or at least block it enough for you to like sleep.
Or, you know, your rubber mask you're wearing that only has your eye holes open, put the sleep mask on with that.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, dude, there are ways to resolve this. You're a scientist. Come on.
Right. And, okay, so here's the thing that makes zero sense about this being a military use. What does he have to be in order to be invisible? He has to be naked. How are you sending troops with what? Their bare hands? I mean, you're not going to be sending troops to invade somewhere without a weapon. They're still going to be.
It would be reconnaissance work.
Maybe.
No, I mean, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they would be able to kill, but yeah, like you said, they'd be able to only infiltrate with their bare hands.
But right.
Imagine a spy. What can you learn if you're invisible?
Yeah.
it's but, way more valuable to them as a reconnaissance spy thing than it would be military like combat.
Even so, though, like, you know, they're open to the elements at all times. It's going to be difficult to do.
Yeah, but look at the advantages. I mean, you wouldn't be able to use it in every terrain, but I mean, look at the advantage when you can use it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most, like, stuff that's worth spying on happens, you know, in a capital, in a building, in a conference room. Like, that's, you're not going to be, like, going into, like, forward operating base. You're going to get very limited shit from there.
Yeah. And one thing I found interesting, I don't know if I, if you think about it, right, he throws up, right? He throws up invisible. Would he? Because why would the food be invisible that was coming out of him?
Well, you know, again, there's so many things that, like, what's invisible, what's not invisible, right? Like, is it only live things? Then why is his hair invisible?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, is it only, like, the things that were infused with that fluid? Okay, then what about food or drink that he consumes? You know, why is that not visible?
Right.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of questions. Obviously, we're not going to get answers to because they're too hard to answer. Like, invisibility for a person is too hard of a scientific question to answer. So they just hand wave it away.
Unless they're saying that the skin's an invisibility cloak, essentially. So if, like, he had, like, a piece of metal in his arm and he went invisible, that piece of metal would there be covered by the invisible surface, so therefore not seen.
Well, yeah, but you also get the thing of, like, okay, what if you get dirty?
Right.
You're going to see the dirt like on your skin. Like, I mean, I don't know. Would you have to, like, obsessively bathe all the time so they couldn't see your filth shaped human walking around? You know what I don't know. Who knows?
Does your hair and your dandruff that builds up, like, if you have bad dander and dandruff, would you have invisible specks everywhere
on the ground? Right. Again, who knows? Who knows? Again, yeah. It's we can't answer these questions because obviously we can't scientifically do this thing.
Right. Like I said, for being a bunch of scientists, a lot of them were sure dumb.
Well, it's for the sake of the film, they have to make you as dumb as the people watching it. So,
yeah, like I said, as you talk about the CGI, you're like, oh, I can't see him. Yeah, you can. You can.
It's like, I can. And I don't even know that much about infrared stuff. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. So that's why. Yeah. How about you? What are your low points?
Yeah, a lot of bacon butt and dong in this. weird CGI floppy dongs a lot in there. Like, you know, you see, like, the blood and the veins and all that kind of stuff, and they, like, kind of unnecessarily focus on that with, like, even the gorilla and Kevin Bacon. It's, like, constant focus. I mean, I guess that's what people are looking for. But that's goofy. We already talked about the, yeah, I have no island so I can't sleep, like, just to put a bag on your head. Or, like, go into a closet and shut all the lights off.
Right.
Like, it's complete darkness. It doesn't, you don't need eyes. It doesn't, even if your eyes are open, it's black.
And you don't need light for infrared to work. Amazing.
Right. I'm just saying, like, there's so many ways around it, and they never even bothered to, like, explain it. It just, whatever. They were just giving it as another reason why he was upset. Yeah, I mean, that the whole rape thing is just, it just kind of bothers me that they don't even show you what happens. I mean, not that I want to watch that. I'm just saying, like, tell me what happens. Give me an aftermath. you know, tell me that, you know, they're going to arrest somebody or something. I don't know. What the hell? Yeah, like you said, the dog murder is not good. But I will say the fire, the effects for the fire at the end were not great either. The CGI for, like, doing the veins and the anatomy and stuff was pretty damn good.
Yep.
But the CGI for the fire at the end was underwhelming compared to that. That's all I got.
Okay, so our out of this week, our number of rashers of bacon out of 10, because it's Kevin Bacon. So I'll go first. Like I said, I really enjoy this movie a lot. Is it the best thing in the world? No. But is it a good, solid 8 rashers of bacon out of 10? I think so.
Eight.
Yeah. Okay. What about you?
Not 8. It's not a bad film. I don't think it quite holds up to today's standards, but it's not bad. I'm going to go 6.2. 2-5. Thrasher's making up.
Right.
Well, then, Salem, why don't you bring us through the spookiest of rocks?
All right. I'm going to try not to spend too much time on this because I did not like this. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. Holy Christ, was this a boring movie. Anyway, okay. So we have Kevin Bacon and his wife and his daughter and autistic son are on vacation in the Grand Canyon. They are with their friends who are a couple. With their son, who are never mentioned again.
Correct.
After this scene.
A supreme waste of Jennifer Morris.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, and the guy from, what was he? I don't know, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kids kind of wander off, you know, oh, we're going to explore. You know, the autistic kid falls into a cave, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, weird, you know, symbols and a bunch of rocks with symbols on them, and so he takes the rocks and puts them in his bag, and then they all go home.
Yep.
And then when they're at home, the kid starts acting weird, starts like weirder. Talking yeah weirder again. He's an autistic child again. We'll get into that later. So he's, you know, they're used to him acting strangely. But he's acting especially strangely. He's talking to this girl, Jennifer, that's not there. But constantly talking, like obsessed with talking to her. And then every time he does something bad that they, you know he's not supposed to do, he keeps blaming Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Like, Jennifer told me to do it. Jennifer told me to do it. Blah, blah, blah. So then there's a bunch of, like, other kind of bad things happening around the house and to the family. I guess they're kind of alluding that this is as a result of the rocks. I don't quite know, because they don't really explain it. So we have Kevin Bacon, the dad, like at his job, he's like an architect or a designer. And then he gets like assigned like this, like helper, who's like an attractive younger woman who like respects him and like knows his work. And it shows him like kind of sort of like hitting on her. And then he decides later to not hit on her.
Which upsets Paul Reiser.
Which upsets his boss, Paul Reiser. That's the entire subplot. As dumb as I made it sound, that is exactly it. It's a complete waste of time. It's just a complete stupid waste of time. The daughter...
subplot B.
Yeah, subplot B. The daughter has an eating disorder to where she comes home from school, throws up in a container, and then hides the container under her bed.
Right. Only one vomit per container.
Right. So the mother witnesses this, looks under the bed. There's containers everywhere. Mm-hmm. They bring her to a psychiatric facility, and she essentially leaves for the rest of the film. She does show up again in the final scenes of the movie. No explanation. Mm-hmm. Is she better? Did they release her because she's cured? Did she just come home of her own accord? We don't know. Nothing is ever said. Nothing is ever explained. She's just gone for a while, and then she comes back.
Yeah.
That's all we got. The mom is like, you know, her life is falling apart around her, and she's like trying to research what's wrong with the kid, right? And she like stumbles on this like YouTube video that literally explains the entire thing that's happening about the history of the stones and the fucking and the native, you know, origins of these ghost monsters. And it explains what's happening to her. I mean, it's literally like the film was made for her to explain to her what's happened. Right.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so the sun, like, there's some kind of weird, like, fire that happens, which makes, like, a big, like, black stain on the wall, which then, I guess, starts talking to him even more. Anyway, so just to sum it up, we get to the end of the film when everybody's together again. These ghost beings, there's five rocks, so there's, like, five, like, native kind of dressed up people and like the different that, you know, there's this wolf, coyote,
bull, snake,
yeah, bison, snake, crow, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And they're all like, they have like their native version, and then they have like their real version, and they're like messing with the people, and then eventually they're like trying to convince the autistic kid to come into their shadow realm with them to live with them.
Because according to the video, they take vulnerable children, aka, as they lay out, essentially in the video, autistic children.
Right. Yeah. And it's like fucking telegraphed. It's so annoying. The very like first scene of the film, the daughter goes, you know, the one boy is trying to like scare the autistic kid, and he's like, oh, he's autistic. He never gets scared. And yep. like that's literally, and then like in the video she watches, like, the rocks can only be returned by someone who feels no fear. It's like, wow. Fucking telegraph that out. Jesus Christ. That doesn't even give me any kind of mystery or anything. You know exactly what's going to happen at the end, like within the first third of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So essentially we get to the end where the shadow people like call him into this portal in the wall, which magically teleports him back to the room where the rocks go. Right, because it says specifically in the video, you have to put the rocks back where you found them. They have to be placed by someone who feels no fear. So he just teleports back there. Why would they teleport back to the only place that can be stopped? Like, why would they bring the rock? Whatever.
Because so, they're not smart.
Yeah. So Kevin Bacon, like, oh, I gotta save my son. So he dives into the portal, and decides to like go, oh, take me instead of my son, and then they do. And then the son goes, oh, yeah, I'll help you, Dad. And then puts the rocks there, and then they go away, and then they jump through the portal. So,
yes.
It is really just that. I mean, there's other stuff happening, I guess, but it's really not. It's just, like, those things dragged out over and over again. Like, there's, like, the mom, like, not understanding what's happening to the kid and Jenny telling him to do shit for, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm skipping over that whole part. Like, I told you it existed, and it's making him do bad things. That's all you need to know. That, like, 45 minutes of the movie is now escaped away.
He tried killing a dog, sir, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
His grandma got attacked by a snake.
Yeah. That's when the girl came back, and she got attacked by a dog. So that was she was gone for a while, and then she was back to be bitten by a dog, and yep. then she was gone again.
Yeah.
And then she came back for the finale when they were like going, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about the people they hired to like get the ghosts out of their house or whatever, mm-hmm. which is completely pointless.
Yes.
So, yeah, again, there's a bunch of stupid shit in there that I'm cutting out, but it ultimately doesn't matter.
So I take it you thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
It's just so boring. There's just, it's like the most generically like PG horror movie you can think of.
Hey, it's made by people who thought Poltergeist was too scary, but they liked the story of Poltergeist.
Right. Like, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, so this is Poltergeist with, like, less stakes.
Yes.
It's like, I was like, I didn't understand what was happening, but I was like, I did not like this. I literally, like, have on my list here, generic Poltergeist. It's
yep.
under, on guess what side it's on. Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I was just so, like, I had to take breaks. I had to, like, go do other things and then come back to it because I was just so bored. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. all right, so what were your first thoughts?
I know what your first thoughts are. I when this is on the list, I'm like, oh, man, Salem's not going to like this.
I've never seen it before. I was like, Kevin Bacon, The Darkness. Okay, I'm on board.
I saw this in theaters.
I'm sorry.
Now, you know, not to say anything negative about the wife, but she does like this movie, but she also likes not as gory and gruesome stories like we do. That was my initial thought too when I saw this. I'm like, okay, so this is a like watered down Poltergeist. Cool. You go into that knowing that you can understand what they're doing. Like I said, they thought Poltergeist was just too scary because that was our childhood, you know, PG-13 horror movies.
Right.
This is this generation's PG-13 horror movie, and they're vastly different, without a doubt. We have people's faces melting off and being picked apart, you know, and clowns abducting people and trees coming into houses and taking kids. This has Let me check my notes here. Yes. The only thing that probably dies in this movie is the Namor's dog. He's probably put down from the attack.
He's not killed by a monster or anything. No, he's put down by the state because he attacked a girl because it was like antagonized by the ghost beast.
Yes. That's the only death in this entire movie.
Which is sad. Yeah. Right? Because it was like, nobody was like, hey, maybe your dog was possessed by this ghost. Maybe we shouldn't be putting him to death right now. Nope. Watch him be taken away.
Yep. Yeah. and that's my rewatch every single time. Like, unfortunately, I have probably seen this 6 times since it's come out. It doesn't get better. I can tell you that much.
I don't know how anybody can watch this like more than once, honestly.
It's one of those, hey, why I don't want to watch Poltergeist. I want to watch something else. So I'll watch the Disney version of Poltergeist instead. Those are my thoughts and rewatches. I don't think it's a fantastic movie. I'll do my highlights first. Kevin Bacon and the mom and the dog until he got killed. That's what I got.
I'm gonna say Kevin Bacon wasn't even at his best in this film.
He's
better than the like a lot of people, but he's still not at his best. Like he's phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that the cast that I did like was the people that I didn't expect. With Paul Reiser, I did not expect Paul Reiser to be in this. He was great. I mean, he's not in it for very long.
Oh, he comes off as douchebag just right, fine.
And he's supposed to. That's perfect, perfect job. The wife is the pilot from Pitch Black.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see her into something. I think she overacted a bit. I think she was just acting as much as everyone else should have been, and it just felt so weird because everybody else was phoning it in, and she just was doing what she was supposed to do. I don't know. I don't think she did all that great, but it was nice to see her again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big surprise for me was Paul Reiser's wife was Ming-Na Wen, who's in like a ton of shit, right? She's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was in fucking Book of Boba Fett. Like, she's been in a ton of
Chun-Li. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She's been in a ton of shit. I was like, what the fuck? I was very surprised that she was in this film. I do like the idea of the native legends. I don't think that they did them correctly.
No.
But I like the idea of it. I thought it was like an interesting concept. I think the delivery of it was bad, but the concept of it was interesting. And I, mm-hmm. As much as I tried, I could not find a third. I usually try to do at least 3 on each side, and I could not fucking think of a third. I'm like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Just going to end at 2. Yeah.
Why don't you roll into your low points then?
Okay, so we got bad CGI in this film. I'm sure you're shocked to hear that. I think the funniest parts were when she was looking through the pictures on her phone of like the Grand Canyon and like the people like in front of like various like landmarks and shit. The people are very clearly badly photoshopped into another picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like the wrong size. They're not even like the same size next to each other. It's like they like took somebody like who'd spent 5 minutes photoshopping, cutting out people and slapping them in like known landmark photos because they are so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And I was laughing. I'm like, is that really, you're really going with that? Like, that's not a holder. This is the live, whatever. The shadow hands coming out of the wall were badly, badly done. They looked mm-hmm. fake as shit. When they went to the grocery store, the name on the front of the grocery store is so hilariously bad. Like, even the isometric lines are wrong. Like, it was so out of place. It's called, like, Frank's Grocery Store or something
Frank's
like that.
Frank's Fresh, yeah.
Right, and it was just so bad. Like, just glaringly bad CGI. I thought it was hilarious. I stopped paying attention after that. Again, kid acting is terrible in this film. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm always critical of kid acting. It's fucking terrible in this movie. But there's also the whole thing. I hate, I always talk about it. I hate when people do the whole autism is magic thing.
Yes.
And not because I dislike autism in any way. I don't. I just think it's unfair that every media portrayal of a kid or even an adult with autism, they somehow have some kind of magic power.
Yep.
Right? And I think it's just unfair to real people who actually do have autism when people assume they can, like, oh, can you count cards like fucking Rain Man? You know, shit like that. Like, some people just have autism and that's it. They don't have a magic ability you can exploit somehow. You know what I mean? It's like, just stop it with the magic power shit. There's so many movies that do it. And it just annoys the shit out of me every time. Like, The Predator fucking did it. Do you remember that shit?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I can't stand it. And then, of course, we already discussed generic Poltergeist. Like, again, it's just the plot of Poltergeist, but worse.
Yes.
Just, again, like, it's like, dial down the stakes, dial down the violence and scariness, you know, dial down even the threatening of the children. And that's basically what you get. Everything. It's like, if Poltergeist is a 10, this movie's like a 4. You know, it's just the same thing, only less so.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
I agree with you on many, 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 many points. And this is a trope, and, you know, my wife does work with kids with special needs, and she doesn't like this portrayal either, right? And it's that, you know, when we were growing up, 80s, 90s, 2000s, you had a weird kid brother. He was just weird, right? That was it. Now the new trope is they're autistic.
Right, they're autistic, and they can never just be autistic.
Right.
They always have to have some kind of weird magic power that somehow helps the quote unquote hero of the story in some way. Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. You know, the subplots. Yeah, Kevin Bacon cheated on his wife and, you know, because of Paul Reiser, but still allowed to work there, still allowed to do all this shit and get upset by it that you're, you know, like, oh man, I was living vicariously through your affairs. Fuck off. And the subplot of bulimia, I'm going to throw up once a little bit into the baggie and put it into a container. And there's like, what, 50 containers are there?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Like, you're not noticing any containers are missing? Because if not, anything else, she's stealing containers as well.
Right. You open up your Tupperware cabinet. Huh?
Right.
Where's all the Tupperware?
Yeah. Also, you know, she has her own bathroom. If you're going to do that, just do it in the toilet and flush it.
Well, that's the thing. And it's like, oh no, you have an eating disorder. Let's bring you to the mental hospital. And then she's just gone.
Yep.
Like that is never revisited. Like it's never brought back. And then later on in the film, she's just back.
Yeah.
No explanations, no like closure, nothing.
Yeah. When they're accusing Mikey of getting his hands dirty and putting his hands everywhere, those were giant ass hands. His hands aren't that big.
Right. They're like, yeah, no one is. Like, everyone's like, huh, that's weird. How do you have perfectly painted black hands all over everything?
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. Anyway, I'll just wash it. Forget about it.
Obviously, the poor dog.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't his fault. Okay. And I did this test. Yeah. Yes, they're using eWeb search. But if she Googled, the exact terms were strange smells. And she gets demonic ancient Indian tribe. Like articles, demons, YouTube videos from strange smells. I encourage anyone watching to Google strange smells. And guess what? Demons? Not on the first page.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say not at all.
Not at all. I don't know if she's using like the demonic web search. I don't. That's entirely possible with their e-videos and e-web search. But like, that's a lot of stuff. Like, this is like 2016. First off, I said I did it in 2025. Still not true. I don't think it was true in 2016.
No, I think the other funny thing was they kept saying, "You smell that? You smell that? Oh yeah, I smell it. Interesting." They never say what it smells like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the smell it. Smell like what? Is it like a weird smell? Is it rotting? Is it sulfur? What is it? What's the smell? They never describe it in any way. Nope. Like I said, when she's doing a web search, strange smell. Not like sulfur.
Nope.
Not like rotting flesh smell. No, it's just strange smell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you smell that? Yeah, I smell something. I'll take the garbage out. Like, that's it.
Yep.
Give me that's something. It. Give me something to work with. What does it smell like?
Yeah. Now, now tell me how a Hispanic shaman is going to dispel, through their belief system, ghosts of people that existed with those belief systems well before them in their Catholic belief system in that country.
She's good at dealing with evil spirits. Evil spirits are timeless.
Sure. Sure. That's...
Well, again, maybe she was originally from an even older tribe.
Maybe.
Maybe she was like from the Aztecs.
I don't believe the that they would...
Maybe she I don't was descended from them.
I don't believe they'd give a shit about it. I'm also, just saying. It's interesting that Native American ancient tribe would have the name Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, did he name it? Did it come up with it? Maybe it was one of the other autistic children they took before. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
It's never described. We never see her.
I don't know. It makes zero sense. And remember, they said this spooky stuff's been going on there for 5 months. We had 5 months of spooky in this movie. Did you notice all 5 months? So I saw like 2 days worth.
Yeah, right. Like I said, like, give me an explanation. Like, oh, the girl comes back. Oh, you've been in your treatment for 2 months. How do you feel? Okay, then I would get in a sense that time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a sense that time passed at all. Like, it really feels like it happened within like 3 days.
Yes.
Again, the movie is just very poorly done. Like, yes. Not only is it boring, it's just poorly done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like, okay, so the tribe's going to take these vulnerable kids away. To do what? Well, I don't know.
To hang out? Like, you hang out with fucking ghost people? Okay.
But by golly, we spent all our budget on that unsolved mystery VHS. That we had the same video over and over again. And okay, so there's five creatures, right? We saw the snake, we saw the raven or crow, right? We saw the wolf being the dog. I don't recall seeing the buffalo.
I mean, I don't know. There's a guy with horns on his head.
Sure. Like every other creature was there.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? How's a buffalo going to get around in a house?
I'm just saying.
It would appear in a hallway and then not be able to move.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna have animals, make it something else. A grasshopper. I know.
The buffalo manifested out. Shit, I can't get out of their room.
Yeah.
The door's too small and I can't get enough rubbing space to break through it.
Yeah. Also, when you have a spontaneous fire in your house, don't bother scraping up the charcoal layer of the wall, even though you don't get to it. You can still clean it up a bit. They did nothing with it for
the wall down. I'm sure who knows make how it less long. Black. Well, like it's black. Yeah. So like there might be like cinders in the walls and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You should not just leave it that way.
You cut it out and you put a piece of plastic over it until you can do something with it. Easy. But no. No. They had to wait for the CGI hands to come out. And I think Kevin Bacon just sacrificed himself in the movie just to get out of the movie.
Yeah, he was just like, this movie sucks. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah, this is, like I said, the tropes are just are so bad in this. So generic. So forgettable. All right. So, that's all I have. I know it's a little bit, right? I was struggling for highlights.
yeah.
So, Salem, why don't you go first? How many rashers of bacon out of 10 do you give The Darkness from 2016?
Two point seven five.
Yeah, I looked up at the daughter too. I'm like, is her acting really that bad? Yeah, she's not. She's from Australia, so her accent it just seems whiny and overacting. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That's not her normal accent, so she tried too hard. I agree. This is 2.75 rashers of bacon out of 10. This is, I've seen it way too many times. Just saying that it's, I'd say probably one of the worst Kevin Bacon movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely down there. I'd have to like give me a list, but it's definitely, it's almost definitely in the bottom five.
Yeah. All right. And then we'll get into They Slash Them from 2022, which hard topics to talk about for us, maybe, but essentially it is a group of the LGBT, you know, Q plus community going to a conversion camp run by Kevin Bacon, Darlene from True Blood, my girl, Ginger Bro, and a wannabe Candace Cameron.
Correct. I think all those are accurate.
We start off with a woman driving to middle of the road. She gets stopped and she gets killed. Then we go to the camp. Like I said, every camper revives, and we have this awkwardness. Well,
not just killed, but like killed by a slasher wearing a mask.
Yes. Yeah. So essentially, this is just the LGBT Crystal Lake plot wise.
Correct. Yeah. That's what it is.
And you dive into a lot of the shittiness that is conversion camps. I guess.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon comes out being very respectful, being very, you know, sensitive to people and, you know, how they want to be addressed, how they want to, you know, be, you know, he goes into the whole thing. Like, I'm not here to convert you. I'm just here to say, like, if you think that you want to, you know, you don't like the way you are and you want to try to change to fit in, we can try to help you with that. But if you don't want to change, that's totally okay. If your authentic you is this you, then you can stay that way and then just enjoy the camp for the week.
Yeah.
Like, he's, again, at the beginning, he's very nice, very respectful. You know, he goes, okay, you know, after the whole big, you know, introduction, I'm a good guy. You know, he introduces everybody and he goes, okay, boys over here, girls over here. Right. Yep. So one of the characters is trans and non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go, well, I don't really fit on either side. Where should I go? And he's like, where do you feel comfortable? How about you go with the boys for now? If you don't feel comfortable there, then you can change later.
Right.
Right. And again, he's very sensitive.
He's very taken aback by that.
Right. Right. And so, you know, they go into the boys' cabin and then, you know, things kind of progress to the next day. Again, things are still pleasant.
Yeah. We find out that one of the people at the girls' cabin is not a girl.
Is a trans woman, right? Yeah. So they sneak up on her in the shower. Spoiler alert, later on we see that they have cameras in the shower, probably for this reason. I mean, probably for creep reasons as well.
Yeah,
but probably for this reason, because, you know,
as you probably
have guessed, it's going to progress in a way that's not as respectful as he starts off.
Yes, the perverted psychopathic doll maker custodian.
Right. Yeah, who we all assume is the bad guy,
right?
And he goes pretty goddamn quick.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the trans girl gets sent to the boys' cabin.
Mm-hmm. Well,
obviously, she feels like she doesn't belong. You know, rightfully so. Right.
Yeah, and then they kind of go, like, the first night is that, the next night they're like, all right, you guys are sleeping in the woods by yourself, partner up. Fend for yourselves. Cool.
Right. And then, yeah, and then it starts progressing, you know, and then, like, the next day it's like, oh, boys have to go shoot, you know, shoot things. And then the girls have to go bake pies, you know, they have to, like, learn their gender that they should be assigned, that they feel like assigning.
Yeah.
And then we've seen, like, the real first glimpse of how evil Kevin Bacon is he goes, after they're all done shooting, he's like, who's my killer? You know, who's the one that's going to win? To where Jordan is the trans non-binary person, right?
I eventually say protagonist. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it is. It does switch around quite a bit, but I would say most frequently the protagonist, yes.
Yeah.
So they get into a shooting competition with the ginger bro, like
the former gay guy who went through we'll find out later, the bad conversion.
Right. Yeah. So they have like a little shoot, competition and, Jordan wins because, they were apparently in,
junior rifle person.
Yeah, junior marksman. We don't know from what, but junior marksman 2 years running or whatever.
Yeah.
So they win the competition, and then like he brings out his old dog, like it's an Duke. Old like hound dog, and he's like, "Yeah, old Duke has got cancer. He's not feeling too good. Like somebody's got to shoot him. And if you don't shoot him, the ginger bro gym teacher is going to break his legs."
And one by one until you shoot him.
Yeah, and until somebody shoots him.
And he picks the guy who couldn't hold the gun in the least bit.
Though, yes, the most flamboyant presenting of the boys he picks to do this. And of course, you know, he's not comfortable doing it. Says so right away. You know, obviously is very disturbed by this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually as it's getting to the point where it looks like the poor dog is going to get its leg broke, Jordan just shoots
it. Yep. And he goes, "That's it. There's my killer."
Right. And so at that point, that's when things start progressing.
Right.
So on the girl's side, they're making pies. The teacher, you know, the Jim Bros, wife or girlfriend.
Candace Cameron wannabe.
Right, yeah. Team Candace Cameron is basically, you know, the one girl who is, you know, very traditionally girly, right? Mm-hmm. Very traditionally feminine. She goes after her and like basically like sexually assaults her, basically, right? Like,
I like your pie. Like your pie. I like it. Nice on the outside, juicy on the inside.
Right. Yeah. Like it's sexual assault, right? It's not good. She leaves there. So this is when we see like everybody's a piece of shit in this mm-hmm. camp, right? So she goes off and bones the other girl. The girl with the red hair.
She's so interesting. She has colored hair. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So it's essentially her whole personality in the movie. Like she doesn't really get a whole lot other than she's not really there to be converted in any way. Everybody else is usually there because their parents are forcing them to be there.
She's writing an article.
Yeah. She's writing an article for a college paper and she just wants to see it from the inside to write the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get back to back sex scenes. So the next one is the kind of swim bro, guy that's trying to like, you know, he's gay, but he's trying to like fit in. Right. He ends up boning the, I guess probably, I don't know. The guy with the long hair. I don't know.
I would say a malnourished Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, exactly. With the weird accent and everything. Yes. Yes. So they end up boning. And then, as they're in like their post coital bliss, right. We find out that guy was the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like you said,
even struggle, not even a bit.
Yeah, not a little. So because the swim bro, who he thought he had the most potential to like, you know, be normal, since he, you know, had sex with his plant, now he has to be tortured and literally like strapped in the chair, like strapped up to a car battery, and then like shown pictures. And anytime like a sexy man comes on the screen, he gets like a shock.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is like torture therapy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Darlene's character just belittles people to no end to the point of crying.
Right, yeah. Everybody comes out crying because she's supposedly a psychiatrist, but she's just like, sounds like she just, well, they show her looking through their things and looking through their pictures to get little pieces of their life to needle at them.
Right. She's there to mentally break them down.
Right.
And mentally call them break garbage. Them down. Right. And yeah, what's wrong with you? Blah, all that bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's their purpose there. So that essentially we get to the point where they're like, this place is fucked.
Yep.
We need to escape. We need to get out of here. So like tomorrow morning, first thing, we're going to go steal the bus that brought us here and we're all getting the hell out of here.
Yeah. Everyone.
Right. Everyone's getting out of here. And this is the point where we got a scene a little earlier in the film where the creepy janitor that was watching the kids shower gets murdered by the same masked person who killed.
So right. So it's not
the
him.
Lady in the beginning. Right. Yeah. So it's not him. We kind of it's suggested that it's him, but it's not him because he's the first to go.
Yeah.
And then at this point is when, you know, when they all decide to leave, that's when Tommy Wiseau finds his body in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets killed.
Yep.
And then the weird couple, the ginger bro and Candace Cameron, are like doing this weird thing of like looking through their phones, finding pictures that like turn them on, and then like they're like dry humping each other,
right?
To while the point looking to, at the yeah. other, yeah, it's very bizarre.
Well, to the point proving that the Ginger Bro didn't really convert.
Yeah, did not convert. He's just fitting in as far as like the rest of the world, but he definitely is not.
Right.
But anyway, so they get axe murdered while they're dry humping each other.
Yep.
So you know, at this point, everybody comes out of the cabin at night, like, okay, shit is going down. So, you know, they're all like, well, go get the guns. And Kevin Bacon's like, I'm not giving children guns, right? So he tells his wife to go get the guns. The wife goes to try to get the guns, and then she gets stabbed, right? So then we go back, and they're all trying to, like, get out.
Yeah, they're like, dude, and Kevin Bacon realized, like, it's only the counselors that are getting killed.
Right. Yeah, so Jordan goes in to see, you know, what happened, or to see, you know, what's going on with the guns. Mm-hmm. Can't find the lady at all, but then he hears Kevin Bacon coming in, so they hide in the closet, right? And they find the dead wife in the closet.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Bacon comes in, and they witness them being murdered. They witness Kevin Bacon being murdered by the slasher, right?
Oh, starting to.
Well, yeah, starting to, and then Jordan, like, comes out and grabs the gun, because Kevin Bacon pulled a gun out of a counter and then got knocked out of his hand.
Yeah.
But then Jordan grabs the gun, and then it's like, oh, you know, you. Basically, we find out that the person in the mask was my girl.
Yep.
She was a person at the camp that went through the torture.
Who of Kevin Bacon converted. Doesn't even remember.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon doesn't even remember her, because she was like 14, so it was probably, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So she came back to get her revenge and says that, you know, her life was hell because she felt bad about everything she did for the rest of her life.
Yep.
And now she's coming back to get revenge. And then she's telling, Jordan to just shoot him because, you know,
they want to go, she wants to go camp by camp, conversion camp by conversion camp, and kill them all.
Right.
Stop them all. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. But Jordan couldn't pull the gun on Kevin Bacon because he's like, no, I'm strong enough not to kill him. And my girl goes, that's cool. And then shoves him into, you know, antlers, essentially.
A rhino
horror.
Right.
Right. Yep. And, you know, so she lays out her plat, and then cops come and she gets put away. And everyone's like, yeah, we're ourselves.
Yeah.
End of movie.
Yeah. I didn't talk about the horrible sing-along
part. What?
There's what? A couple of parts that I just skip over because I would rather not remember them.
You enjoy them singing? I don't know the song. Is it Kelly Clarkson?
No, it's Pink, actually.
That's right, Pink, yeah. Yeah, you're perfect the way you are. And yeah. Everyone that's able to sing it in rhythm to the music and have a dance sing along to it. Yes.
I tried to keep the pronouns straight, but there's a lot of pronouns in the film. I apologize if I get any of them.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's hard to keep everything in line with this movie just because there's a lot to it, and, you know, we don't want to disrespect anyone.
Correct.
But yeah, that's it. You know, my first thoughts, I think, you know, we were just starting off doing the show when this came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching this and going, like, okay, yeah, you think it's going to be the creepy groundskeeper? No. And my first thought was like, holy shit, this, like, you know, took the idea of summer camp, made it terrifying to that community. And it was a great, and I think refreshing twist in the camp story that it's not, you know, it's like the assholes that, you know, the counselors actually deserve it. None of the campers that are adults, essentially, right, get killed.
Right.
You know, so there was a motive behind all the killings.
Except for the first.
I think she just assumed that the nurse that was going there was also a dick.
Right. Well, the thing is she was brand new, too.
Yeah.
That's how she was able to take her place, because Kevin Bacon didn't know what she looked like.
Right.
So she was brand new. So she was an innocent that was murdered first.
Yeah. I think, though, on my girl's logic was, she's willingly doing this, therefore Bat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, I think she was innocent. Like, she didn't have a chance to make the choice yet.
Right. Right. Yeah, because she's just the nurse slash, knows the drugs well enough to
say,
this is safe, this isn't safe, blah, blah, blah.
And that's basically what I was doing the whole time, is I was trying to, like, figure out who the slasher was. And the movie deliberately tricks you.
Oh, easily.
Like, okay, like, literally, we have the scene, like, as I just described it, where the psychiatrist lady, the wife, gets murdered, right? Mm-hmm. And then it cuts directly to my girl outside, helping the kids get to the bus.
Yep.
So, like, it doesn't say that time has passed, right? It doesn't say, because obviously at least minutes would have had to have passed between those two scenes for her to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, it's deliberately shown so that the, you know, because obviously if it goes from like person getting murdered and then person being outside, you're gonna assume, okay, it's not her, it can't be her,
right?
So the first time, yeah, I didn't know it was her, but again, you're deliberately fooled that it's not.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, do you remember your first time watches, what your thoughts were?
Yeah, that was, yeah, that's okay, what it was. Yeah. I was trying to figure out who the slasher was the whole time. Yep. And I was trying to figure out what the slashing had to do with anything. Because we get that first murder in the beginning, and then we get the next, like, the groundskeeper gets murdered within 20, 30 minutes. But then after that, we really don't get nothing. It's right. Like, we see how bad the camp is. We see them trying to investigate what's going on, but we don't get any more killings. We don't get any more clues until people start dying again.
Yeah.
And so I was like trying to figure out who the fuck is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're deliberately, you know, shown like cuts to the next scene when that person is there. When you just saw the killer, so you're like, okay, it can't be them. So it's not a movie that you can pick because it doesn't follow the right timeline. Like some movies do, like Scream, you can watch and the people that are doing it are never there.
Correct.
And they never cut to them in the next scene, they're just not there. That's Scream 2 was one of the very few movies that I was able to pick out who the killer was in the relative beginning and knew who it was, simply because like Timothy Olyphant was not with them. They were all walking together in the quad.
Yep.
He was the only one that wasn't there, even though he was there early.
Right.
And I was like, oh, he's the only one of all the people that have been introduced that's not there. It's got to be him. The second one you can't guess.
Until you rewatch it and realize that the only person to interact with her was Gale Weathers. Because everyone else would have recognized her.
Right. But again, there's no way you could have known that. There's no clues in any way.
No, not at all. But I think this movie took our knowledge of slashers and just churned it so we could not guess.
Yeah, it took the whole, you know, camp in the woods and modernized it, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody knows how terrible conversion camps are, right? So it's already a terrible thing. That they show you, it's basically two movies again, right? Mm-hmm. It's the whole, like, you know, evil camp, like how are they going to get away from the evil people running it? Mm-hmm. And then there's also a slasher happening in the background that the slasher eventually overcomes and becomes the film, but like up to that point it's like an escape from hell kind of situation.
Oh yeah, easily.
Right.
All right. So do you want to go first for your highlights? Or do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I will say, like, as far as depicting, you know, kids who have like genuine fears and like genuine like concerns with their life and how it's going and you know how they don't feel comfortable in their own skin. I mean, this is normal things for kids to feel, but sometimes when you're in a minority of a minority, you feel even more isolated and distant. And I think it did a good job of showing that kids can be very isolated and very, you know, in a bad situation, right? And they don't know how to act. They don't know, should I try to fit in? Should I try to be myself? Who knows? You know, that's a choice that you have to make. But it's hard when you get people obviously having an agenda that get involved in that situation, you know, that one, their parents for setting them there, and two, Kevin Bacon and team for what they try to do. Again, the psychiatry, the way that she broke down and like just needled them on like every little tiny thing, you can see like even the toughest people are like, wow.
Yeah.
Like if you're a psychiatrist that knows enough about you and is willing to like go the dark side, like they can really fuck you up. And you can tell that she was actually doing that. I mean, I would say the counselor acting was pretty good. I'd say they all kind of went from that, like, well, I would say some more than others. They, you know, they looked pleasant enough in the beginning, and then they, as time goes on, they become more and more like menacing, right?
Oh, the facade they put up is great,
right? Initially. Yeah, in the beginning they seem like they're nice, and then you see it devolve over time, and then they become like, you know, the kind of monsters that they always were, but they were good at acting ahead of time. But I think that was a good portrayal that I thought. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's basically like two horror movies in one. Like I said, it's like, you know, we're trapped in escape and also a slasher happening at the same time, which I thought was, it's an interesting combo.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with everything you said. You know, I think the unique twist being there of being an old camper that was converted and just life ruined from the horrendousness that is conversion camps was a fantastic twist that, like I said, no one saw coming. There's no way.
Yeah, no, there's no clues. No. There's no clues. Again, and you're like thrown off the trail by showing like literally when it kills happen, they cut directly to her outside doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's impossible to them.
Yeah, and you know, her facade, I think I have my girl written in positive. I think her facade is that she's new there and just this is her first time, so she maybe is trustworthy, maybe isn't. You know, as when you're in that situation, those kids don't know. They have no fucking clue who they can trust.
Right. Especially in that kind of place.
Right. Like, right. There's no way they can trust fucking anyone there.
Right.
And which is just, we'll get into that low point there a little bit. And Duke was a good boy. He didn't need to get shot. But, like I said, it's just, and I think Kevin Bacon, like we talked about his portrayal of wanting to be a bad guy. Like, he nails it in this.
No, for sure. Yeah, he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, like I think you can see elements of this even in his character in Maxine. Like, yeah. He is a piece of shit.
Right. Yeah, well, it's in Maxine, he doesn't even try to hide it. No. In this one, he just, yeah, he has that mask up, and it's a very convincing mask, and it, mm-hmm. and it takes time for it to drop, but once it does, it's like, wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll flip into over my, you know, low points. Obviously, conversion camps, big one, right?
Yeah, that's number one for me.
Yeah, like I said, shooting Duke. And, you know, I understand this is a trope-ish movie. I don't know necessarily the killer needed necessarily to reveal herself. She could have just been on her way. She saved the kids. She could have just moved on to the next camp.
I think they kind of wanted to have that hero's journey for Jordan, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They really wanted to show that they, yeah, had to shoot the dog and, you know, is a killer, right?
Right.
But ultimately, when it comes to, like, you know, murdering a person, they had that journey where they weren't willing to do that.
Right.
And I think that was the point of it. Without her saying that to Kevin Bacon, I don't think it matters that she doesn't shoot him. Or sorry, that they don't shoot him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like I said, a lot of it is hard to watch just because of, you know, it being in the environment. Like, you know that, like, after we already know, you know, after you watch the first time and you watch the Timu Candace Cameron trying to seduce the girl, like, she's also just, like, was trying to be bait. Like, they are that steadfast in their beliefs that they, how righteous they are, they're willing to just bait people. And it's you're meant to be disgusted by it, no matter who you are.
That's the bad thing about people that are fucked up, right? People that mm-hmm. are fucked up and like do wrong things.
Yeah.
And they, I think, inherently know they're wrong, unless they're like a true sociopath. Most people know that they're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. But the big problem is if you find other people that are also doing the same level of wrong and they support you on it, it's like you're way more likely to continue doing wrong, evil shit, right? As time goes on. And that's what happens here, is all of these people are wrong people doing wrong together and supporting each other with that wrongness. And that's the dangerous part.
And what, he's third generation conversion camp? His grandfather started the camp and it was converting people? Like,
They saw, they showed pictures of kids like in black and white. So decades at least.
And of course, the sing-along I did not care for. Those are my low points. How about yours?
Again, conversion camps, number one. Pink sing-along, number two. Old Duke murder, number three. Torture therapy. I don't understand. What the fuck? How do you think you're in the right by literally fucking torturing people? I mean, I guess you can convince yourself, like, we're programming people to be quote unquote right, you know, in their mind
to fit into society.
Right. So like you're doing this as it's like, you know, unnecessary evil to get them to be what they should be. Again, this is from their point of view. I guess so. But if you're at the level of torture, you're fucked up. Like you fucked up along the way. There's no matter where you are or how you think things should end up, if you end up at torture, you did it wrong.
It's one of those moments like they should be going, like, looking at the knife or the electrodes, like, am I wrong? They go, no, it's the children who are wrong.
Right. Yeah. It's like, if you ended up at, I need to torture them, you fucked up. There's nothing that gets to that point that is ever going to work out for anybody if you get to let's torture them, especially children.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the back-to-back sex scenes, I think, went on a bit too long. It was like sex scene and then literally cut next sex scene. It was like, well, we're not going to get a break in between.
Well, first off, you needed the two women and then you needed time or so and the job.
I know. You needed two women and two men. I get it. I'm just saying, like, give me something in between, you know, like give me like another kill in between and then go, you know, like something. It was just like back to back. Boom, boom. Okay, that's 15 minutes. I guess we'll go with that.
Yeah.
And then at the very, like, there's a couple of scenes in here. I describe them as like empowerment scenes, you know, where they get like the goofy, cliched one-liner off. You know what I mean? And it just feels very inauthentic, and it bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, honey, I'm a black trans woman, I can do it in heels. It's like,
yeah,
you know, I get it. I understand what you're trying to do. Like they're just as capable. I totally get that. But like, come on, give her a line with some dignity.
Is he family? He sure is. Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. So number of rashers of bacon out of 10. Like I said, this is, it's like I said, the conversion camp of it all is hard to watch. It's painful to have to see and know that people actually do this shit to people. And that's very bothersome.
Well, hopefully not the, like the car bank.
I hope shit. Not.
But I the fact that, there is conversion camps that do different levels of this stuff. Yes, that is fucked up.
Yeah. But like I said, this is it's an interesting movie. It gives you to think. And like I said, it's just that unique twist on the camp slasher that it, you know, you don't see. And slasher has been going around strong for, not strong anymore, but 40 years ish. Right. And it's hard to do something unique. And I think this movie nailed it. So I will give this a solid 8 rashers of bacon out of 10. Like I said, I enjoy this movie. Yeah, I've only watched it maybe 3 times now, but
this is the second time. I watched it when it came out, and I watched it again. It is good. It is good. I mean, there's, you know, some negative points that I didn't think were great, but I don't think it takes away from the whole. I think overall it did something interesting. You know, it gave a little bit of a fresh perspective to an old genre, kind of two, right? It's like, because there's two movies in one here, so kind of like a fresh perspective on two different genres. And it was done well. It was interesting. I think generally good performances in there. You know, a fun film overall. It didn't outstay its welcome, wasn't too long. All these things are good. I don't think I'll go as high as 8, but I'll give it a 7. It's worth the rewatch.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it if you're sick of the same old slashers, because it's different enough. For sure. All right. Anything else to add to this episode?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, ooh, I think someone dropped some love potion number 9 into her alcohol of choice. As love is in the air for the next 2 episodes. We will be dodging Cupid's arrows, going to the mine to avoid the miner, not once, but twice. With My Bloody Valentine, its remake, and of course, what everyone seems to forget about as a 2000 slasher is Valentine. I don't see many people talk about it anymore. And you said you have not seen any of these.
Correct. Valentine is one of those movies I may have seen because it was just generic enough. I saw a lot of generic movies around that time. Maybe. I'd say there's probably a 30% chance that I've seen it. I'll find out once I start watching it. Usually if it's a movie I've seen before, I won't know until I'm about 5 or 10 minutes in. And I'll be like, yeah, okay, I have seen this. Or no, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing, it's a 2-episode Valentine's Day spectacular. Not one, but 2 Valentine's themed episodes. I know everybody's excited.
I know. I mean, we had to make up for we didn't do it last year. Exactly. So I'm excited. I enjoy these movies, and I enjoy the next episodes, the 2 episodes after that too. It's an interesting take on this, and we'll have to hopefully not dig the bottom of the barrel too quickly if we do this next year and don't run into Hell on the Shelf territory with Valentine's
Day. It'll be just one, if it's one episode of just 3 and then we move on, that's okay. It's when you get a whole month of trash in a row. That's hard to function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to hear your takes on these because, like I said, I know you haven't seen these. I've seen them all numerous times here.
Well, I've had a list of, I know what we talked about. We watched that Into the Darkness documentary, all of them.
Yeah.
And I had a list of the films that they talked about in that movie that I thought were interesting that I hadn't seen. It was a pretty long list. And I have now watched every movie on that list except for one, and that is My Bloody Valentine. The original My Bloody Valentine is the only one left on that list. So as soon as I watch that movie, that list will have been complete. That's a life goal. Done.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that right now. There's a lot of movies on that list.
Yeah, it was probably like 30-ish movies, I want to say.
Yeah.
25, 30 movies on that list.
But this is why we do stuff like this, is to go back and watch movies that we never seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I try to, the movies that I want to see that are on that list, that's why there's been a lot of these themed episodes. Me having a film that I want to watch, and then I'm like, okay, I'll find 2 other ones related, and then we have an excuse to watch.
Exactly. Without spoiling it for ourselves, too, because we don't want to know the exact plot.
Well, you, Mr. Watching all your YouTube best of fucking top 10s, whatever the fuck it is, you ruin it for yourself all the time.
It's very true. For sure. But regardless, we'll see you in the next 2 episodes. Like I said, with love in the air. And remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.